Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the Therapy Matters podcast, your one-stop resource for expert insights and advice on everything therapy and rehab. I'm your host, Allison Jones, and today I'm joined by Katie O'Bright, owner of Redefine Health Education. Katie, it's great to have you on the show today. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to a great conversation.
Yes, me too. So before we dive into it, I want to give the audience some background on who you are. So take a minute and tell our audience about your background and a little bit about Redefine Health Education.
Yeah, thanks so much. So Redefine Health Education, I actually started in April of 2020. And as you could imagine, the timeline of that was totally inspired, or lack thereof, by COVID. At the time, I was a cash-based practice owner in the Pittsburgh area. I was the sole income for my family as my husband was going through grad school, and we had two little boys, and we needed a good income. So my cash-based practice that I had just started 3 months prior did not survive the impact of COVID, at least it wasn't going on the trajectory that I had anticipated. And so I started Redefine Health Education as a way to just provide some courses in the time that COVID was transpiring. And here we are four years later. And really, this has become my primary business. And our main mission is to get physical therapists and healthcare administrators and healthcare systems to understand the impact and the importance of having a PT in primary care or a PT practicing in a primary care provider role. So we offer courses in primary care clinical aspects, and then also working on courses for how to actually integrate a PT in primary care system. We also have some courses in musculoskeletal imaging. But my background really started in the military. So I came out of school, and my very first job out of school in 2014 was assigned to a soldier-centered medical home. So I was a PT in integrated primary care practice sort of right from the start. So that's how I got my inspiration of, in my opinion, kind of what right looks like, and how, and now, you know, transitioning into the private sector and into the non-federal world, it's really my hope and my goal that we can bring this forward-thinking upstream model of care to the rest of the PT profession that is kind of functioning in a little bit more of a, you know, a historical perspective of what PT was, and we can evolve to just be so much better than that.
Excellent. So dig in for me to explain a little bit further what primary care PT is. What is it? What is it not? Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I'm very well versed in this because I just was on a different podcast last week where I kind of explained what this is. So if we think about primary care PT, a lot of people equate it to direct access. And direct access just means that you can see a patient without a referral. That's literally all that it means. You don't have to change anything about your practice patterns or about how you screen or evaluate a patient by law or by regulation by seeing a patient direct access. So you can still kind of do what you've always been doing, but see patient without a referral. Primary care PT is actually changing the whole mindset about how you evaluate and interact with patients and how you sustain relationships with them over time. So, for example, you have a patient who comes in, and let's say maybe they're coming in for knee pain. Well, that same patient on your screening and in your screening for primary care PT, you want to get a really good snapshot of what that patient's life looks like, because that is all going to dictate how the patient is going to do and what you're going, what's even achievable to offer them for therapy services. So if you exclude all of that, which is what I think sometimes PTs get into a trap of doing, oh, they were already screened by a medical provider, or they were already, you know, someone else takes their blood pressure, or someone else, you know, takes care of their GI conditions, or their this and that. if we just remove that from our thinking entirely, we're really missing the mark on what that patient's full health picture looks like. So in primary care PT, let's say, just going back to that patient with knee pain, you can have patient A over here who comes in with knee pain, who has, you know, excellent vitals, has good access to transportation and good social relationships and has a good job and has money and has, you know, access to the stuff that they need. Has, you know, eats a healthy diet, participates in regular exercise, doesn't have a significant medical history. Okay, that's a straight up knee patient. We can work on that. And does, you know, doesn't have any signs and symptoms of mental health disorders or sleep disorders. Okay, we can treat that like a knee. That's great. But on the flip side, the vast majority of our population is coming to us with significant medical complexities. In fact, there's a statistic that I was just reviewing related to blood pressure, where it's more than 50% of our population in the United States has hypertension. Mm-hmm. And of that 50%, only 50% even adhere to less than 50% are actually controlled.
Right.
So when somebody says that they are hypertensive, or they, you know, mark yes to they have hypertension, but they say they're on a blood pressure medication, you don't know, you can only be about maybe 30 to 40% confident that that patient is controlled on that medication at that time. So functioning in a primary care mindset, we are taking all of that into consideration with every patient that comes in the door. And you're kind of serving as a care navigator where, yeah, you might end up seeing that patient for their knee if they're appropriate, but you're not excluding all of these other, you know, socioeconomic, past medical history, mental, emotional health, social health. You're not excluding all of that. You're including it as a part of your relationship with that patient for as much or as little as the patient consents to. So I think that's something that is an evolving concept in physical therapy. And a lot of it is being driven by the fact that we have significant physician shortages. And of the physicians that are available for care, they're placed in very... And I, you know, physicians will attest to this. Not, this isn't me saying this. They're placed in very impossible working conditions where, you know, they have to see 50 or 60 patients a day. You get 7 to 15 minutes. What can you possibly do with our complex medical conditions in that, given those working conditions? So I think primary care PT is just another way that we can be a part of the greater medical team and serve that patient best at the right time.
This might be a little bit obvious, but how does primary care PT better serve the patient and better serve PTs?
It might be obvious, but I think to our profession, sometimes it's not so obvious. So when we're thinking about how we're setting up our businesses and how we want our businesses to be run. So I'm talking as like a business owner now. So if I were an owner of a physical therapy business, when I think about the traditional model, I think about a linear relationship where, you know, you receive a referral from whoever, you know, orthopedic surgeon, a primary care, whatever. And that's like, okay, PT, evaluate and treat for, let's say it's knee pain. You kind of start at this initial evaluation, and then you treat, and then you have this like hard discharge. Oftentimes, that linear relationship, which, you know, there's a historical perspective to why that is, and that's outside the scope of this episode, but that doesn't serve patients well in our current model, where we have increasing insurance restrictions and justifications that we have to make in order to justify maintaining that relationship. Sometimes insurance companies give patients 5 visits, and then you got to do this whole thing in order to justify more visits. Who really is that serving at that point? With primary care PT, maybe the patient will understand that they can get to us before it gets to a point where they need more than 5 visits. I think a lot of patients in general, and this is just from me interviewing the general public, a lot of patients in general and a lot of physicians, referring physicians, don't like to send patients or patients don't like to go to physical therapy because they're concerned about getting into this trap of, oh, if I go to PT, I'm going to be stuck there 2 to 3 times a week for 6 to 8 weeks because that's what every PT clinic is doing. Because that's what a lot of PT clinics are still doing now in 2024, which is crazy. If we move upstream and we start to see patients earlier in the process and we don't make them commit to this 2 to 3 times a week for 6 to 8 weeks concept, mm-hmm. they'll be more likely to seek out our services to begin with. So by approaching things from a primary care mindset, not only can we improve the people who are knocking on our door to begin with, but we can also, patients find value in that tremendously because they know, hey, I have this expert that I can go to right off the bat that I don't have to like funnel through primary care. I don't have to see all the specialists and get all this stuff done. I can go right to this person who's going to give me a really good answer. And I won't feel like I'm getting sucked into this, quote unquote plan of care, because the plan of care could literally be one visit. It could be one visit and refer. It could be one visit and, hey, let's just have a couple of touch points over the next couple of weeks. Or it could even be something where a patient comes in and they have a chronic condition like COPD. And maybe they just need some care to get them through an exacerbation. They get a little medication adjustment by their pulmonologist and you just work with them through that exacerbation. But you say, hey, you got to keep up with this. So check in with me in 3 months. So it's really good for patients. It's really good for us because we can then provide the care that the evidence and the research is showing that we should be doing instead of feeling like we have to, and I'll just use this term, we have to cash in on every patient that comes in through our door by, exhausting their insurance benefits. And I'm speaking all of this because I've worked in these types of clinics that promote these types of concepts. So I do think that overall, by moving more upstream, whether that's we're in our own PT clinic and we're offering this model of care, these quick consults, the revolving door model, or mm-hmm. where maybe we have our own PT clinic, our own PT business, but we work with the family medicine clinic down the road, and we say, hey, what do you think about us putting one of our PTs in your family practice, 1 or 2 days a week? And, you work something out, you figure it out, and you get in there. Well, guess what? Those family medicine providers are going to start seeing the value that you can bring to the table. Your face and your business is going to then be recognized not only by those practitioners, but also by the community. By the patients that are coming in for care there, and they're going to say, hey, this actually seems like a really good option. Whereas before, when you don't have those like kind of immediate early access touch points, patients don't even know what physical therapy is sometimes.
Right.
And they don't want to go because they heard from their sister that it's pain and torture. And, there's just a lot of public misconceptions. So if we have that opportunity to get upstream like that, what we're noticing is that the clinics that are doing this in the private sector, that they're actually seeing better downstream referrals. You get a PT referral and they actually come.
Yeah.
And they actually complete their care. So I think that it is just truly better all around.
Yeah. So that sort of leads into my next question that you mentioned it, sort of the dirty word cash in, right? Everybody's concerned about reimbursement and, and making money and surviving and thriving. You sort of alluded to it. How does the primary care PT impact your reimbursement and your revenue flow?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So in our current practice model, we know that patients with, and okay, so I'll talk about musculoskeletal for a second here, but
okay,
we have to understand that musculoskeletal is just a blip in all of the conditions that we could possibly work with as physical therapists.
Right.
And when we think about our profession, we think about caring for individuals that have functional needs. And I think that in general, the people that are missing out on our care are, your individuals with heart disease, your individuals with COPD, your individuals with cancer and cancer-related impairments, and, cancer survivorship impairments. Those people are not traditionally seen by physical therapists. And there's a huge percentage of those patients that would benefit from even a couple of visits. So I'll talk about musculoskeletal just for one just to start. When we talk about musculoskeletal care, it's estimated that only about 7 to 14% of all musculoskeletal issues ever see a physical therapist. So just in musculoskeletal alone, we're already totally just missing the mark. Now, coming back to natural history, we also know that a lot of musculoskeletal pain conditions are self-limiting, and they have a natural history that they just typically tend to get better with time. But we also know that the first provider that they see dictates how that's going to go. Because if you have a patient who comes in and they develop a bout of neck pain for the first time, and that patient also has a history of anxiety, and maybe they're going through a difficult life transition, or maybe they're not sleeping well, the first provider that you see, if they say, hey, let's get some x-rays because you're having this bout of neck pain and we don't know what it is. Let's get some x-rays. Let's say, and those x-rays, oh, by the way, are probably not necessary, most likely. So you get those x-rays and, you know, the radiologist reads them and maybe there's some degenerative changes. Then maybe the PCP gets it back and says, hey, you know, just some wear and tear in your neck, degenerative changes, you know, and then, you know, of course, these radiology reports say they have some like big, scary words, which we know are not really big and scary words, but to patients, they can be really big and scary.
Right.
And if the provider, the first provider that sees them, doesn't understand how to communicate those imaging findings in a way that promotes a reassurance toward the patient, that patient can then start to ruminate and start to perseverate on those imaging findings. And then, you know, that creates a process in the nervous system that perpetuates pain cycles and perpetuates systemic inflammation, and then you end up with pain that lasts a whole lot longer than it should.
Right.
So when we just talk about those factors alone, it would be substantially more important, or it would behoove everyone, and I'll come back to reimbursement in just a second. It would behoove everyone to sort of flip the model and let the physical therapist be the one to see these patients first, manage the patient first, and educate the patient first. So how that affects reimbursement and revenue and all of that? Well, if we do that, remember what I said about 7 to 14%? Maybe that turns into, oh, I don't know, 80 to 90%. But maybe that 80 to 90% is 1 to 2 time visits, you know, one time consult. We do all of the screening. We understand the risk factors. We understand, you know, the health status of the patient and, you know, their trajectory for everything. And we can say, hey, you got back pain for the first time. I can do some things in clinic right here that will help make your back feel a little bit better. We encourage you to stay active and, you know, provide you that safety netting and, you know, so, and here's what to do if it doesn't get better in this time frame. And then you have an open door and the patient can come back to see you if they need to, and they can just not if they don't need to. So how does that change everything? Well, guess what? Physical therapy evaluation codes pay a whole lot more than treatment codes. And you don't have to run into all of the nonsense of like, oh, well, we can't bill the same two treatment codes in this. Yeah, I don't know. All of the insurance nonsense that I don't deal with anymore because I'm in the cash market because I can't stand insurance. All that. So, but if you just think about the impact of having more touch points with more patients with just musculoskeletal problems alone, and then think about the downstream impact on that patient, on each one of those patients' quality of life, their finances, then the insurance companies are like, oh, well, we see that PTs are not, you know, seeing patients for, you know, a million visits. So maybe we should reimburse these primary care consultant PTs a little bit more. How about that? That's interesting. So that's just food for thought to start that conversation.
Right. So why aren't more people doing this?
Okay. That's a loaded question. I think a lot of it has to do with history.
Okay.
The way that these businesses have been run for, you know, decades, a century at this point, really, really decades because of the evolution of our profession. So I think a lot of it has to do with that. I think a lot of it has to do with our own profession being restrictive toward itself. There are still people in our profession who do not want to see patients direct access or as a first point of contact. Yes, they still exist. I know because I'm a part of these clinics that want to make this happen, and that's some of the pushback. Some of the pushback is PTs don't want to do it. They don't want to function in that role. That's a problem. That's a serious problem. So what we try to do I'm also the education chair for the primary care special interest group, which is housed currently under the APTA Federal. Highly encourage everybody to explore that. We have so many different resources and connections for people. We also have this is my one little plug. We have a primary care PT summit and think tank, which is going to be our second annual conference in Denver, September 20th and 21st this year.
Excellent.
So definitely, look into that. Follow me and I can hook you up with all that stuff. But why aren't more people doing it? I think a lot of it has to do with culture and history. A lot of people, if we think about some of the bigger corporate models, they run their businesses based on number of visits. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult for these larger corporate businesses that have, big, regional, I'm losing the word in my mind, but they have a lot of different clinics. If that's their business model, if that's their big business metric, it's going to be really difficult to try to change that a little bit. It's also, there are some people that don't want to engage with or collaborate with physician groups because they think that they're going to fall into, the whole physician-owned practice, which was, quote, a cancer to our profession. I actually think there's way bigger cancers to our profession than working with physicians. And in fact, some of the physicians that I've had the opportunity to work with directly, it's been the best setup for myself, for my patients, and for the physicians. So I think that there are bigger problems out there than that. I also think that sometimes, businesses or PTs themselves don't feel comfortable working in the consultant role. So mm-hmm. you go from maybe having a, 45 to 60 minute evaluation time and switching into the primary care role, you might be doing more of these quick consults where you're doing a very quick screen to rule out red flags. You're functioning as a care navigator and, appropriateness, triage, care navigation, referral recommendations. So I think that there's a lot of people, probably the same people that don't want to do direct access are the same people that would have a problem functioning in that role. So I think that a lot of it has to do with culture rather than actual barriers. And it just takes a really solid pioneer to sort through the process and make it come to fruition. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of grit and a lot of perseverance. And, it's a new program, so you got to work out the kinks. And that takes an investment of time, which is then money. So there's a lot of barriers, but I think there's also a lot of hope and a lot of potential. And I also think there's a lot of risk for businesses that just want to stick with doing what they're doing because, as we know, reimbursement continues to plummet.
Right, right. So if say I'm a practice or I'm a provider that is interested in getting started with a primary care PT, if I wanted to start doing this today, mm-hmm. How would I approach it? What are some tips?
Okay, that again, loaded question because yeah. there's so much strategic planning that is involved in a new program like this.
Yeah.
My first recommendation would be map out exactly what your goal of the program is because okay. the goal of the program in your PT practice might be totally different than the goal of a program if you were like in a hospital system or something like that. Because in a hospital system, maybe their primary care or family medicine, internal medicine teams see, a ton of musculoskeletal complaints and they just have such a high volume that they need a PT just to function in that consultative role in that
right.
area. But maybe if you're a private practice owner and you have a smaller clinic, maybe your goal is to change up the model a little bit so you can have more community engagement and you can have more direct consumers that are coming to see you directly for your services. So again, identify what the goal is. Is the goal to provide kind of like an urgent care alternative, where if people are getting these acute injuries, you can set up your practice to, have this kind of like same day access kind of situation? Or is it more so you want to set up to be a part of the primary care team where you're just acting as an extension? So maybe these patients have annual well visits with you where you conduct an evidence-based evaluation of very specific criteria for their given age group, for their given status. So you'll have different criteria for somebody who is kind of in the, pregnancy, postpartum, peripartum status. You're going to have different criteria for that. You'll have different criteria for the aging population, different criteria for the pediatric population. And all of it, just understand that when I say criteria, I'm not talking about like ankle dorsiflexion limitation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what's their risk for hypertension? What's their risk for, diabetes? Are they on an obesity trajectory that is a change in their life? Identifying these major risk factors and then identifying, oh, okay, so you're an aging person and your 6-minute walk test is actually, you're kind of getting a little short of breath. You're kind of desaturating a little bit. Did you know that? And, so that's kind of what I'm referring to when I talk about these more screening or preventive measures. So are you wanting to set up more of an annual visit preventive medicine kind of model? Or do you want to mostly just focus on like injuries and reactive medicine? So that would be tip number one. Figure out what the goal of your program is and what your capacity for that is. Do you have the actual capacity to dedicate to that? Then you want to do a pilot test. You want to figure out all of those aspects related to, okay, let's do a 3-month pilot test. We'll figure out, if you're in the insurance model, you'll figure out what payers need to do this and that, which insurance companies you're going to have trouble with or that you need to call to make some specific justifications or, figure out if there's any prior auth nonsense that needs to be taken care of. And also, if you want to have a hybrid payment model where, okay, you identify that with maybe certain payers or certain insurance companies, this type of model is not going to necessarily work. Well, you put together, a paper that says, okay, for all, Blue Cross plans, this is what would be covered under this, and then this is what you would be expected to pay. Do you want to participate in more of a subscription or membership style model of payment? Which for direct primary care, and for those who are listening that aren't familiar with direct primary care, it presents humongous opportunities for PT. Just go to dpcfrontier.com. And there's a mapper there that will show you what DPCs are in your area. DPCs are basically all the doctors that have left insurance practice and have gone to an affordable monthly membership. It's not membership. Concierge, which is very expensive. Yeah. Direct primary care is meant to be an affordable membership style primary care. So that's another option to like partner with people like that or to just run a payment model like that. There's endless opportunities, and there's so many considerations. I do have a mentorship program for those that are interested in learning more about sorting all of these things out if you are wanting to go down that direction.
Oh, where can people find out about your mentorship program if they're interested?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my website, redefinehealthed.com, /mentorship, I think, is the correct URL. But you'll be able to find, if you on our homepage under redefinehealthed.com, if you scroll to the bottom, I think the last thing on there is the mentorship page. So you just click that button and find out more. You can also send me an email, info@redefinehealthed.com. Happy to share any information people or answer any questions people have.
There was a lot to cover in our discussion with Katie today. So please join us for part 2 on our next episode. Until then, thank you for tuning in to the Therapy Matters podcast, your one-stop resource for expert insights and advice on everything therapy and rehab. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Thanks for listening to Therapy Matters. Do you like the podcast? Give us a 5-star rating, subscribe, and tell all your friends about the show. Want to be a guest or know someone that would be a great guest speaker? Contact me at allison.jones@raintreeinc.com.
That's allison.jones@raintreeinc.com. Therapy Matters is brought to you by Raintree, therapy and rehab's favorite EMR. Raintree is the only all-in-one therapy EMR delivering a complete and seamless end-to-end patient journey from first contact to payment to patient retention. To learn more about Raintree, visit us online at raintreeinc.com.